Just before we turn to God's word, let's pray. Father, we now come and we just still our hearts before you. We thank you for your word of the word of truth which we find in the scriptures. And Father, we pray now as we come to open up your word that you will give us help. We pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you will anoint the preaching of your word. And Father, that your word would not return unto you void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My boss, Mr. David Murphy, who I'm sure you all know, had the privilege of leading a man to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ not too long ago, just a short time before that man's death. And the words that that man issued or uttered towards the end of his life really, really disturbed me and really challenged me. He said, "Wasted years, wasted years. How many wasted years? I've spent so many years living for the things of this world," he said, "rather than living for the Lord." I wonder, is there any in our gathering here this morning? Perhaps you can look back on 2011 and you can say, "Noel, as far as God is concerned, 2011 was a wasted year." Or perhaps you can look back on numerous years before that. And just like that dear man who, praise God, came finally to know the Lord. But you would say, wasted years. Wasted years. Friends, as we come to the start of another year, a new year, can I encourage you not to waste any more of your time? The Word of God says in John chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture." You know, it's my prayer for you this morning that if up to this point in your life you have been wasting your years, that God by His Spirit will speak very, very clearly to you today. And that God might call you into His eternal sheep pen. And that then He might give you the desire to go forth. And yes, in 2012, to live for His glory. We're looking at one of the great I Am statements in John's Gospel. Turn to John chapter 10. And one of the primary themes there in John's Gospel is this misunderstanding, this misinterpretation about who this Jesus Christ really is. You see, the people in first century Palestine were unsure as to who this Jesus was. And so what Jesus did is He chose to reveal something of His identity via the seven I Am statements which we find in the fourth Gospel. And of course, many of you will know that by taking on that word, "I Am," Jesus was taking upon Himself the holy name of the one true living God. You probably know in Exodus chapter 3, whenever God spoke to Moses, you may have did it with the children earlier on in the series that you're doing in your children's address, that God first spoke to Moses from the burning bush and He asked Moses to come and to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3, whenever Moses said, "Who will I tell them sent me?" God answers, "Tell them, I am who I am. Tell them, I am has sent me to you." And many of those people, many of the Jews and the Pharisees, whenever they heard Jesus Christ saying, "I am," they didn't like the fact that He was taking upon Himself the divine name of God. Because by using that wonderful name, it left Him open to the claim of blasphemy. The first five verses of John chapter 10, Jesus describes His followers as a sheep in a sheep pen. He's their shepherd. And that imagery of shepherd and sheep is carried through from the Old Testament. It's an image which depicts the covenant relationship that existed between God, the shepherd, and the people of Israel, the sheep. But now Jesus is appearing on the scene of time, and he's trying to explain to them that he is God and they are the sheep, and he wants them to follow him. But friends, it seems as if by verse 5 they haven't quite got the message. And so therefore in verses 7 to 10, Jesus changes that imagery a wee bit. And he starts to talk about this first. There's two in this passage. We're only going to look at the first one. We want to focus on verse 7 to 10 where he says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." You see, one of the ways that sheep were kept in Jesus' day was whenever they were out in the field or the open countryside, the shepherd would make a makeshift pen. There wouldn't be a door, there just would be an opening. And what the shepherd would have done is he would have literally became the door and lay at the entrance to protect the sheep. And this is the context in which Jesus makes this claim to say, "I am the door for the sheep." And what he means by that, friends, is in order to enter the sheep pen, in order to enter the kingdom of God, and in order to become a child of God, we must come through the door which is Jesus Christ. We must enter by faith through Jesus. Matthew Henry, that wonderful old commentator, writes the following. He says, "By Christ as the door, we have our first admission into the flock of God." Can I ask you on this first day of 2012, have you as yet entered in by faith through the door which is Jesus? Are you among his sheep? If you were to be ushered away from this seam of time and not live for 2013, would he welcome you in to glory because you've entered into the kingdom of God through trusting in him? Folks, I want to make 4 points about Jesus Christ as the door. In this passage, firstly, we see that Jesus is a special door. Secondly, we see that he is a saving door. Thirdly, we see that he's a secure door. And fourthly, we see that he is a satisfying door. Firstly, a special door. Have any of you men ever gone shopping with your wife? Yeah. You enjoy it? Yeah. Have you ever gone, by chance, looking for a new front door for your house? You look around all these doors that are on view, on display, and it can become very, very confusing. You look at them and you say to her, "Which one will we buy?" Sure, they all seem the same. They'll all do the job. But then usually it's her normally. She just catches one. And that's the one. That's the ideal one. That's the door that we must have. It ticks all the boxes. No other door will do. That door is so, so special. Folks, the same can be said in a reverent way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a special door. And why is he a special door? Because he is a unique door. You see, there's no other door like Jesus Christ. And sadly, many people today make the mistake of claiming that there are various ways to get to know God. There are various ways to receive forgiveness of sin. There are various ways of get to heaven. And friends, we're living in an increasingly pluralist society which argues that there are loads of different doors all leading to heaven. But friends, Jesus in this passage says, "No way." Jesus in this passage is making a sweeping statement. He is claiming here not just to be any old door, not just to be one of many doors which will do depending on your personal preferences. Jesus is claiming to be the door for the sheep. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, is a special door. He's a unique door. He's the one and only way to glory. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says the same thing in another wonderful "I am" statement. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father," says Jesus, but through me. Jesus is the only way, folks. One way God said to get to heaven, the children said. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions. Jesus is the only way. No other way, no other way, no other way to go but through Christ. I wonder, have you come through Jesus? He's a special door. He's a unique door. Only whenever we come and confess our sins and enter in by trusting in Him can we have that hope of glory with Him. Have you entered in yet? Do you know sins forgiven? Have you trusted in Christ and come through the door of faith? He's a special door because he's unique. He's also a special door because he's an intimate door. Notice, friends, in verse 8 there, we see that the sheep don't listen to thieves or robbers. Yet you know the voice of their own shepherd. They listen to their own shepherd. Jesus is a special door, you see, because he invites personal intimacy. I don't know what your boss is like, but some bosses have what you might call a closed door policy. You never can get in to see them without maybe booking an appointment months in advance. And others have an open door policy. I remember my headmaster, Macfoot High School, he always had an open door for parents and for teachers, a very welcoming Christian man. Friends, Jesus' door is always open. Jesus invites us to come in and to get to know Him more and more. Jesus invites us to come in and become intimate with Him, that we come and get to know Him better. The Apostle John, as he writes that letter to the seven churches in Revelation, writes in chapter 3 and verse 20 to that lukewarm church at Laodicea, and you've probably heard this before. He says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." And that verse is often preached as an invitation to come to Christ for salvation, and there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe even here this morning, friends, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart by his Spirit, and he's wanting to come in to be your Lord and Savior for 2012. Are you going to open your door and let him in? I wonder, friends, do you understand the original context of that message from Revelation 3 and 20? It was actually written to believers. To believers who had lost that intimate relationship they once had with the Lord. Jesus is inviting lukewarm Christians in Revelation 3 and 20. He's inviting backsliders to open up the doors of their hearts that he might come back in and have real intimate fellowship with them. Perhaps you're a saved person here this morning. But perhaps if you look back in 2011, really as far as God is concerned, there was a lot of wasted time. Maybe you grew cold. Maybe you backslid in the year that's gone into eternity. Maybe you've lost your cutting edge. Friends, Jesus is a special door through whom you must re-enter and rebuild that intimate fellowship with God once again. Will you come afresh, recommit your life to Jesus this morning, so that for 2012 you can truly glorify Him? Jesus Christ truly is a special door because He's intimate, He's unique, and He's intimate. Secondly, Jesus is a saving door. Look at verse 9. He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters in through me, he will be saved." Prophet Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 53 and verse 6 that we're all sinners, friends. We're all lost sheep in need of rescuing. He says there, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways. The Lord has laid upon him," that's Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Friends, every single one of us gathered here this morning are lost sheep. Let's be honest. We've all gone astray. We've all turned our own way. We're all filthy sinners in the eyes of a holy God. And what the Word of God is telling us here is that we must come through the door, which is Jesus. He is the saving door. We can't bypass Him. We can't go another way. If we want to be forgiven and cleansed from sin and given that hope of eternal life, we must go through the door, which is Jesus. Entrance to the kingdom of heaven is non-negotiable. He's the only saving door. Have you went through Him by faith? Paul puts it this way in Romans 10:9-10. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is your heart that you with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You had that saving experience in your life. Have you entered into Christ's flock through personal faith in the crosswork of Calvary? Oh yes, man constantly tries to invent new ways of getting to God. New sects, new religions pop up every day. But friends, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. What does the Word of God say in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12? It says, salvation is to be found in no other name, for there is no other name given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved. Perhaps as you look forward to the year ahead, you think, no, well, I've got many needs. I've got many financial needs. I've got many physical needs. I've got many emotional needs for the year ahead. Friends, can I tell you in love this morning that your greatest need for 2012 is a spiritual need? You need to go through this saving door, which is Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is Paul, of whom I am the worst. Friends, we're all sinners. We all need to go through the saving door, which is Jesus. Someone once said about the work of Christ the following words. He says, the carpenter of Nazareth took the wood of his cross, and with the wood of his cross he made a door of salvation. What a wonderful Savior. Are you going to continue to neglect Him and to reject Him and waste another opportunity to come for Him for salvation? He says, I am the door. If anyone enters in through me, he shall be saved. Jesus is a special door. He's a saving door. Praise God, thirdly, He's a secure door. We read that in verse 9b. Jesus says there, He will go in and out and find pasture. This is the one who finds salvation. You see, the sheep can be secure whenever they come and trust in the Savior who is Jesus. They can feel safe. They can come in and they can go out looking for pasture because they're secure in the arms of a loving Savior. Bruce Milne writes the following about the secure nature of Christ. He says, the sheep are constantly under the shepherd's care. They grow through nourishment by the food which he provides. The security is provided by proximity to the shepherd. You see, if we come and trust in Christ as Savior, if we enter in through that special and saving door, we are secure to come in and go out to find pasture. What does that mean? Well, that means, friends, that no doubt in 2012, Satan will attack God's people. But praise God, the people of God can remain safe and we can remain secure from the attacks of the evil one by coming in and spending time feasting on the riches of Christ. And what do we feast on as believers? Well, we feast and we build up our intimacy whenever we come regularly to the Word of God. Can I ask you, Christian friends, are you making it a priority to feast upon the Word of God on a daily basis to keep you secure from the attacks of the evil one, the thief who wants to steal your relationship with Him? Are you coming regularly to the quiet time of prayer? Are you coming regularly to your services morning and evening and midweek to grow in your faith? Keep coming in and feeding on the Good Shepherd that we might be secure and not swayed by false teaching or false doctrine as believers. We can come in and find pasture. He also secure because we can go out as well. You see, Christian friends, we're not saved just to stay in our wee holy huddles. We come through the special saving door, we're secure, and then we go out and we share the good news of Jesus with others. Are we doing that? Did we do it in 2011? If not, will we not do it in 2012? We can do it because our security is not in ourself, our ability, or our talent. Our security is in Jesus. Jesus Christ as the door is a special door. He's a saving door. He's a secure door. And finally, he's a satisfying door. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Praise God. Praise God for that. Thieves normally sneak into sheep pens either to steal or to kill sheep. Thieves come into the sheep pen for destruction, and that's what Satan wants to do, friends. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And the harsh reality is this, friends, in 2012, Satan will seek to convince you that satisfaction is found in loads of things outside of Christ. In the glitter of this world. In riches. In temporal things. But friends, to a person, whenever we seek satisfaction in the world, we'll realize that, yes, sin is pleasant, but it's only pleasant for a short time. Jesus Christ is the door, friends, to life which is fully satisfying. Jesus Christ comes to offer you and me, sinners, born for a lost eternity in hell, to a new life, to abundant life, a life full of meaning and purpose. Oh, yes, you've wasted so many years. So many years you've spent searching for satisfaction. Perhaps even this morning you're yearning for purpose. You're yearning for meaning. You're yearning for joy, for hope. You're yearning perhaps even for peace with God, and for that reason you've come to church and you put on that veneer of religion and your shirt and tie, and friends, you think that'll do. But in love, can I tell you, it won't. It won't do. You'll only find satisfaction and forgiveness of sins in real life whenever you repent of sin and you accept the Savior. You see, it's only in Christ alone, that we can find our deepest joy. Wasted years. So many wasted years. Is that how you feel this morning? Friends, 2012, for you, doesn't have to be another wasted year. Because Jesus Christ is a special door. Jesus Christ is a saving door. Jesus Christ is a secure door. Jesus Christ is a satisfying door. Will you, by faith, enter through that door this morning? Will you come to God in prayer and tell Him you're sorry for wasted years, for past sin? And you will enter in by faith through Jesus. And then when you do that, I know many people here, praise God, this morning have done so. Friends, can I encourage you, as you look forward to 2012, will you invest your time wisely? Above all things, invest your time in the things of God. And whenever you stand in this church or sit in this church at the beginning of 2013 as a saved person, you can say, I invested, don't be proud about it, but I invested reasonably well for the things of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to make a new start with Jesus at the beginning of a new year. Well, Father, we pray that by your Spirit you will continue to speak to a dear soul who is still unsaved, to those who are still lost sheep in need of entrance into your kingdom through the door of faith, which is Jesus. Oh Lord, will you grant us the courage this morning to realize that we're not good enough. None of us are good enough. And help us to realize, Lord, the brevity of life, that we're only guaranteed the breath that we're now breathing. None of us know if we ever can come back into this meeting place again to be given another opportunity to get right with you. Father, impress that upon our hearts, that this morning, by faith, we will accept the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to sing hymn number 689, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice That Calls Me, Lord, to Thee, for cleansing in Thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. And listen to the chorus. It says, I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Friends, if you've never come and to be washed in the blood of Christ, I invite you to so come today. Make this song your personal prayer. Let's stand and praise God.